Good morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio and our friends in the public media spectrum across the region, bringing you the latest news. I'm Carl Lengel. It is Thursday, the 9th of April, 2026. Yellowstone National Park will open select entrances in Montana and interior roads next week. The park announced in a Wednesday news release that the north entrance at Gardner and the west entrance at West Yellowstone will open on Friday, April 17th at 8 a.m., weather permitting. From the north and west entrances, visitors will be able to access Mammoth Hot Springs, Lamar Valley, Norris Geyser Basin, Grand Canyon of the Yellowstone, Old Faithful, and the northeast entrance at Silvergate and Cook City, Montana. Visitors are reminded to bring appropriate footwear and clothing for winter conditions because many trails and boardwalks are still snow-covered at this time of year, and expect limited services in the spring and be prepared. Park officials report additional roads in the park will open throughout May, weather permitting. A Gallatin County coroner's inquest has determined that an officer involved shooting in Belgrade last year was justified. YPR's Kay Erickson has the details.
The coroner's inquest jury returned the verdict on Tuesday regarding the death of Devin Shearn, who was shot in an incident in late October 2025 near Crockett Way in Belgrade. A news release from the Gallatin County Attorney's Office reports the jury determined the use of force by a Belgrade police officer was justified. The inquest, a fact-finding proceeding and not a criminal prosecution, was led by Gallatin County Attorney Audrey Cromwell. After the jury reviewed the testimony, including from the officers involved, a pathologist, and an agent with the state's Division of Criminal Investigation, the 9-member jury concluded the officer involved reasonably believed his partner was at risk of serious bodily injury or death at the time force was used. The verdict concludes the formal inquiry into Shearn's death and no criminal charges will be filed in connection with the incident. In Billings, I'm Kay Erickson.
A free multi-day tribal college symposium this week will tell the story of the Crow Tribe and the Little Bighorn Battle. Yellowstone Public Radio's Kayla DeRoche has more.
Little Bighorn College in Crow Agency is holding a series of lectures this week about the Little Bighorn Battle of 1876. Six Crow Scouts joined forces with the U.S. military in the fray, part of the larger face-off between U.S. forces and tribes. Little Bighorn College Library Director Tim Bernardis says the U.S. military and Crow tribe shared common rivals. The Crow had spent decades trying to guard their territory from neighboring tribes pushing them west.
They were fighting for their land, their home, their families, and the Sioux and Cheyenne had basically driven the Crows out of Crow country.
Seminars Thursday and Friday will go into more depth about Crow history and tribal perspectives. The lectures continue all day, both days, and will include a panel with descendants of the six Crow Scouts and their interpreter. On Saturday, a limited number of seats are available for a tour of the Little Bighorn Battlefield. In Billings, I'm Kayla DeRoche.
A Montana company that manufactures critical minerals used in military equipment is expanding with help from the U.S. Department of War. Lattice Materials is one of the few domestic sources for germanium and silicon, semiconductors used in military equipment like lasers and scopes. The company broke ground Wednesday morning in Bozeman at the future site of an 80,000-square-foot building. According to a news release from Governor Greg Gianforte, both the governor and Senator Tim Sheehy attended. The Department of War announced an award of $18.5 million in December to the company as part of an effort to boost domestic production of critical minerals and curtail reliance on imports. The agency says it needs the semiconductors to ease the supply chain and produce infrared optical lenses, windows, and mirrors used in many military optics systems. Lattice says its new facility will double its footprint. Some Montana schools are asking voters next month to help keep the lights on. They're seeking levies to fund staff salaries and mounting technology expenses. Montana Public Radio's Austin Amestoy reports.
It's no secret that Montana schools have struggled to pass funding levies over the last few years, but administrators in many districts say they don't have a choice. If they don't go to voters, they won't be fully funded. That's because the state pays for roughly 80% of a school's budget. Whether the remainder is covered is up to voters, who are asked to increase their property taxes to help pay for schools. It's a system Helena Public Schools Superintendent Rex Welts calls cumbersome. His district is asking voters for help funding its elementary budget and ongoing technology expenses, like software licenses. Welts says those licenses are essential to modern learning, but aren't paid for by the state. He hopes that will change someday.
However, I can't wait for that day to come, because I'm not sure that it will ever come, and we still have the operational needs of technology.
Helena voters last year passed a $250 million bond to build a new high school and elementary school. Welt says he's immensely grateful, but says none of that money can help cover the annual budget. The message he's working to get out to voters?
Bonds are for buildings and levies are for learning.
Districts in Kalispell, Missoula, and Butte are also asking voters for help paying for educational expenses next month. School levy elections are set for May 5th. In Missoula, I'm Austin Amastoy.
The man who brought an injured wolf into a bar in 2024 was sentenced to 18 months probation and a $1,000 fine yesterday. Cody Roberts will also need to complete a substance abuse program and not possess alcohol or frequent bars. He also cannot possess firearms during his probation. Callie O'Hare is a reporter for the Pinedale Roundup who's been covering this case.
I think that the division, the nastiness, the vitriol that has come from all corners of the world through the internet has really put such a bad taste in people's mouths here. And I think that the one sentiment that everybody maybe can share today is that they're glad that it's over.
Roberts can appeal his sentencing in the next 30 days, which was reached after a plea agreement. It's Community Planning Week in Billings. The city's planning division is presenting a series of open houses to discuss the Billings 2045 plan. The Planning Commission projects that Billings is expected to increase by as many as 30,000 people in the next two decades. These sessions are designed to acquaint residents with the city's challenges and solutions as it moves into the future. Staff will be on hand with visuals and explanations of maps and ideas about Billings two decades from now. Attendees can ask questions and share input at the evening session today at Oasis in the Heights from 5:30 till 7. For more information about the plan, visit billingsmt.gov. Water is flowing again through the Milk River Project in northern Montana. YPR's Kay Erickson has the details.
On Tuesday, 25 cubic feet of water per second was released from Lake Sherburne in northwestern Glacier County, near the eastern edge of Glacier National Park and into the St. Mary Canal. The system has been shut down since mid-June 2024 with the failure of the St. Mary siphon and the rebuilding of Hall's Coulee siphon that feed the canal. The St. Mary Canal is the primary water supply for northern Montana's Milk River, which provides irrigation to 110,000 acres of cropland and potable water to several communities, tribes, and a wildlife refuge. The Milk River Project, on its Tuesday Facebook post, was celebrating the work of contractors, engineers, a tribal workforce and regulatory offices, and many subcontractors who helped completely rebuild the two siphons in just 504 on-the-job days. Officials with the Milk River Project say there is still work to be done, including site reclamation, design adjustments, and some finishing touches, but water is flowing again. In Billings, I'm Kay Erickson.
Several Montana communities will share hundreds of thousands of dollars in support of local development projects. The Montana Department of Commerce on Wednesday announced eight towns, cities, and counties will divvy up nearly $300,000 in community development block grant funding. That's federal money administered at the state or local level in support of housing, infrastructure, and economic development. Bainville, the city of Glasgow, as well as Blaine and Choteau counties will receive funds to complete growth policy updates. Helena, Wolf Point, and Lincoln County's grants will be used for various infrastructure projects. Macon County's share will help complete local zoning regulations. Earlier this week, Commerce announced funding awarded to four other cities and towns. The Montana Coal Board allocated $940,000 to four communities in Montana coal country. Custer County's funds will purchase gear for the local fire department. Hardin will purchase a dump truck. Millstone's share will bankroll a boiler. And Rosebud County will buy a vehicle for the local landfill. The Coal Board awards grants to help communities impacted by changes in coal development. In the last 5 years, the board has distributed over $15 million. Montana's Education Department announced a new incentive to encourage students to safely explore the outdoors. It's a free subscription to digital hunting maps. The Office of Public Instruction announced the partnership with GPS mapping company OnX. The agency says students aged 12 to 17 who complete a hunter's safety course can get a free one-year subscription to OnX's premium hunting maps. The company normally charges $35 annually. A spokesperson for the Education Department told Montana Public Radio OnX is offering the service for free. The company was founded in Missoula in 2009. Montana has one of the highest youth suicide rates in the U.S. The kind of psychiatric care kids need after a suicide attempt isn't always available in-state. Many families are forced to send their child to a facility across the country. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton reports a new program near Bozeman hopes to make that less common.
As the pandemic closed down schools in 2020, Tracy Jacobson's daughter, like many kids, started to struggle with mental health.
That was probably the beginning of the significant mental illness for Jaden.
Jacobson didn't know how much Jaden was struggling until she told her she was having thoughts of harming herself. Jacobson, who lives in Big Sky, immediately sought out a psychiatrist in nearby Bozeman. That kind of outpatient therapy wasn't enough. A year later, Jacobson got the call no parent wants to receive. Jaden, who was 14 at the time, had attempted suicide. Doctors in the Bozeman ER were able to help Jaden physically recover, but finding a mental health provider was difficult.
I recall being in the hospital in Bozeman numerous times, upwards of 10 days, because they couldn't find an in-residential bed for Jaden anywhere.
Jacobson has been through this cycle several times. She sent Jaden to residential psychiatric facilities in Utah, California, Colorado, and Arizona. There are two such providers in Montana, but beds are often full. One of them is Yellowstone Boys and Girls Ranch. CEO Mike Shavers says the youth mental health crisis sparked during the pandemic hasn't slowed down.
We're averaging about 150 referrals a month.
That's over double what his team received prior to 2020.
We can serve somewhere between 15 and 20 of those kids.
Kirsten Smith with the Gallatin County Behavioral Health Coalition is working to change that. She's standing on a 30-acre ranch outside of Bozeman with views of the Bridger Mountains. The property will be the home of Lighthouse Ranch. Smith has been working with the county, state, and local nonprofits to start the program. Yellowstone Boys and Girls Ranch will staff the facility to provide a range of psychiatric services, from outpatient therapy to long-term residential treatment for kids around the state.
This was built as a school for troubled youth.
It already has a gym, a commercial kitchen, and some housing for kids and staff. Smith says many of the structures need remodeling, and more buildings will be constructed. Stepping inside, she points to a model, complete with tiny trees and buildings.
The brown ones are existing structure. The sort of clear-ish ones, those are new structure.
Later this year, Shaver's team will start providing day services and outpatient therapy for local kids. It could be a year or more before residential care begins.
Today, we're serving more kids in the state of Montana than we ever have before, which is great news. But we're also at the same time sending more kids out of state than we ever have before.
State lawmakers and health officials have put funding toward opening more psychiatric beds for kids. But it's unclear whether that'll be enough to meet demand. Since the pandemic, about 280 kids on Medicaid go out of state each year. More children with private insurance are in the same boat. Lighthouse Ranch will start with 10 residential beds. It could take a decade to get the 200 staff needed to serve 60 kids at a time. Angela Kimball is with Inseparable, a think tank that advocates for mental health policy reform. She says Montana isn't alone.
In most states, there is a lack of capacity to meet the demand.
Families have sued states like Colorado for sending too many children out of state for residential psychiatric care. Plaintiffs argue that violates Medicaid requirements to provide care in state. Kimball says increasing Medicaid payments for providers is one way to increase bed space. Montana is currently reworking how it pays providers. Kimball says states should pass laws requiring private insurance companies to cover residential psychiatric care. Funding is also needed to develop a supply of qualified workers. Even with those efforts, Kimball says states will likely continue to struggle to meet demand.
So it's not just that there are more kids with mental health problems, but the severity of those mental health problems is increasing.
Jacobson knows it will be an uphill battle to tackle this crisis in Montana. After multiple rounds of treatment, her daughter Jaden, who's now 19, is doing well. She even has a job at her former school.
It's such a relief to know suicide attempt is not right around the corner, at least for now.
Jacobson has become a Lighthouse Ranch board member. She hopes the facility will prevent another Montana family from sending their child thousands of miles away to get life-saving care. In Bozeman, I'm Aaron Bolton.
That's The Worm for this Thursday. Catch up with us tomorrow. We'll have another episode for you early birds then.
The Worm is a production of Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Metal Art Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.